for your presence, the reality that you are here for your people, even as you were once in human flesh in the Son in that particular office and ministry here upon earth. Lord, we are grateful that now in the form of the Holy Spirit, you yourself are here putting the church in order, putting all things under your feet in order to bring about that great day, Lord, when the saints can come back to this earth and take up their journey, which was aborted way back there thousands of years ago. And as we think of your presence, Lord, we realize from the scripture, which is our Alpha back there in the Gospels, when the angel said, all things are possible with you being here, Mary agreeing with it, that once your presence is known, there was the possibility of the virgin birth, the Christ coming into the earth. And then there was the time when Martha and Mary bemoaned the death of Lazarus, and one said, if you had been here, Martha said, if you had been here, our brother had not died, but now that you are here, we know that you can raise him, and that was a marvelous testimony to your presence. But we think of the time, Lord, that when you were in the boat with the disciples, and they were fearful, even with your presence, that the boat would go down, and they did not appreciate your presence. They did not put that trust there where all things were possible, and because of that presence, God being in a human vessel. And then, Lord, at the time even of your resurrection, when you stood in the midst, and they went on the road to Emmaus, they were puzzled and they were perplexed. Now, Lord, this morning we know we have the choice set before us at the Omega of this hour of the church ages, the very inception of the bride. Lord, we see that we have the choice of believing in your presence, recognizing, rejoicing, the same as Martha did when she said, and the same as Mary was given that opportunity with all things with God, you being present. So, Lord, trust this morning that we will be like Martha, who said, now that you're here, everything is fine. There'll be a resurrection. And like the angel told to Mary, and Mary received it, that now the very Son himself, once more the incarnating body of God, will be in our presence coming back here with us, leading the way. And we have our choice this morning, and I pray, Lord, that in this choice we will take the positive side and not be put aside by any thoughts of the enemy or anything in our hearts in any way, but now know that the all things are possible, restoration, and right back to where the interruption started. Now we can start over again. We're thankful for that. May we learn more about it this morning. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to start number 24 this morning on the spoken words, the original seed, the second volume. And of course, we're going to start to read the writing again that Brother Branham penned as the Lord led him to so pen those words. And as we do, I want you to remember, please do not get carried away by the language or by the various tenses. You will notice in the message that Brother Branham spoke, and especially volume number two, or sermon number two, he categorically told us that he was that messenger with the message. When you come to the writing, you're going to find it as though he were hedging. It could lead you to believe that what he said back here, having forgotten it, meant nothing. And now you're looking at this presently, and the devil will do everything to take your thoughts away from the truth and make you to wonder whether Brother Branham was that messenger or not. And whether this writing in the Spirit is contradicting what he already said, that this is the message. Remember also, Brother Branham categorically said, and I forget where he said it and what date, and I've thought of this previously, I might have looked it up, but he said, nothing outside of this message will come to life. Actually, it's in here, in these two sermons, but not particularly the 100% quote I'm giving you. Also, when I wrote 20th Century Prophet, and I read it to Brother Branham word by word, he thanked me for it, and he said, this is the greatest weapon placed in my hands, Because you see, Lee, you can tell the people what I wouldn't dare to tell them. And I told them flat, plump, and plain that this is Elijah which was for to come, and set forth those things which I believe and preach today. So no matter what you hear at this particular point, do not be confused, because what you are looking at is a writing which you might say and can say was from before the foundation of the world, and as it speaks, it could possibly lead you to believe that something else is to come. And you forget that Brother Branham said, under those seals, God gave us everything to put us into a rapture. That takes us right past the resurrection. And if you're going to be in the rapture, there's only one reason, and that's to go to the marriage supper, to the incarnation. So, as you read, be very careful you're not tossed to and fro. Because this is what I consider to be the major problem amongst those who believe this message, particularly the ministers. I believe the majority of them think that they have come off the fence and turned a corner. But from my conception, and of course I haven't talked with anybody for quite some time, I seriously have my doubts. What I believe is what I preach for years. Every preacher and every person that comes around this message is being crystallized and has now already been crystallized, and you couldn't change your thinking if you tried. Though you're hit with a bolt from heaven. Ah, what's that? That's about all you could do with your brain scattering. Now, I believe this. To actually change. No. No. I don't believe it. For Brother Branham to come back from the dead, he cannot supersede Jesus Christ, who said, though one rose from the dead, they will not believe. It is told by history that when God raised Lazarus, the people were so unhappy, they tried to find ways to kill him. So, in spite of the unbelief of the people around Jesus, Jesus fulfilled his word, period. He didn't depend upon their belief. And they were disciples. It took Judas to have him betrayed and killed. Set the disciples all agog. Brother Branham's death for a while left us up in the air. But not anymore. All right, this morning we have come full circle to the writing God gave Brother Branham, wherein God himself is actually delivering a short sermon to summarize the history of his dealing with his children according to his own purposes, and from the grand and spectacular vision for God's children in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, which was to fill the earth with their progeny and control all things, and then the fall of those children in Genesis 3, 1 to 24, which is the story of how the fall came and what the outcome was. And thereby the interruption of that grand plan on through the Bible. And now in this present hour of judgment and glorification, we find this message briefly tells us what God desires us to know in these last days prior to the resurrection and rapture. In other words, it's a bird's eye view of everything. Of what started, what's there, what's at the end. And there'd be much to fill in. Because this would take, if you began to explain the Bible, which people have done, you find millions of volumes of teaching on the Scripture. Not that all is right, there's a whole lot completely wrong. And so when you consider over the ages, the last 2,000 years, the books that have been lost, the writings that have been lost, the things that have been said have been lost, and yet there's no library, I believe, could contain all the books written concerning the teaching even of the New Testament. How can you possibly condense into a few words what would take many libraries of books to actually set forth? So this is something very, very concise. And we're looking from the Alpha to the Omega. And as we proceed, we must understand that this is what God is speaking or writing through the prophet. So if it would appear, and it will appear, that this man himself is not that one. Don't let it throw you, he is that one. But you're looking from a different perspective. Now, Brother Branham is using this writing to vindicate what he has taught, where he has stood, what he is saying, his position, any authority he had. Now, this was given to him. Now, either this spirit is a lying spirit and in collusion with a liar, and is prevailed upon, and we'll talk about Elohim and Jehovah, has prevailed upon the Elohim Jehovah or the Jehovah Elohim to be in cahoots with him. Then let me tell you something. There's no use telling, I'm but lost for words. Now, I'm sure many people could fill my mouth with words. And they're all going to hell. So how do you know? I'm a believer. In what? In this. They're not. They'll be glad to talk about Moses. Glad to talk about Paul. Glad to talk about Jesus historically. But they don't know the first thing present and spiritual. Because it's the same God and the same Spirit. Goes back there in Enoch and Noah, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Paul, and right today. Oh, of course, they'll admit the church has the Spirit. I wouldn't give you a nickel for the Spirit the church has. In fact, I give you everything I have and let my life end now in hopes of a decent resurrection to just get rid of it. That's what I think of theirs. I wouldn't waste my spit on it in case there comes a dry, hot day and I've got to swallow. I hope everything I do is for a purpose, though perhaps not that. You might call vulgar, call it what you want. Now, as death pursued God's children, now life pursues them and overtakes them and takes them into the millennium and on to the new Jerusalem. This, then, is the message of restoration with the full details as to how it was needed and how it is now being done. And remember, William Branham is writing. Could the author be speaking of Brother Branham? Could the author be standing back and perusing all this and then saying, write this? Because these are my words. Now that is what we're looking at. If you simply believe these are the words of William Branham and the sermons that he has preached, he is not to be respected or given credit above even the least who would dare to say, I have a call and I'm going to teach the word. This man dares to be authoritative. Is he for real? The Millerites dared to be authoritative. Even women preachers dared to be authoritative. Dared, blaspheming. Condemning themselves and all the others who followed them. So, Brother Bale, I believe there are exceptions. Then those who followed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, God misused and abused because there were no exceptions. Now, if you can't understand why I get phone calls telling me everything I say is twisted and perverted, having heard me this morning, what I've said just now, if you can't figure out why are you sitting here this morning? If you all left, we'd just burn the place down and I could go and retire. Except for 4 telephone hookups and a few tapes if I decide to keep preaching. understand what I'm saying? Look, I don't have much life to live, but what I have is shot. And anything there might be there, if my faith is vain, that this is nothing but a creed or a dogma. If this is not the essential, intrinsic, living God word itself by a prophet, forget it. I'm shot. Well, I'm very happily shot this morning. And I'm not happy as much as I should be, and as dedicated. But one day, something's going to happen in my heart to catch up to my tongue. Because believe me, this tongue can preach it, this mind can think it, and one day this soul will be what this word says. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on. All right, Brother Branham says, now here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. That is exactly true. In Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding seed after his kind, whose seed is in itself. See, in other words, it lies within that form or that carrier upon the earth, and it was so. And remember, God said, let the earth do it. But with man, he didn't say, let the earth do it. He took the earth and he did it, and the seed is just the same. Adamic seed is Adamic seed. Cow seed is cow seed. Horse seed is horse seed, and pig seed is pig seed, and gopher seed is gopher seed, and snake seed is snake seed. You really believe that? I know some of you look puzzled, and I make these little succinct, ironclad statements. Pigs get pigs, cows get cows, horses get horses, and they forget that God's life brings forth God's children. And there's a God life somewhere. Because God breathed into Adam the breath of lives and he became a living soul. That was the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost soul comes from God. It is a God life. Put distinctly in a human vessel as everything came out of the ground, out of this earth, even if it's in the waters. Water by itself does not contain calcium and magnesium and all these things. It comes from the earth. How do I know? A, B, C, the rain comes from heaven, doesn't contain all that stuff. Rain, soft water, is not like water comes out of the ground, the good spring ground. If you don't have those minerals, your body's going to lack. The sea just has too many of one thing called salt. So, all right. We are looking at this law of reproduction. Now remember, reproduction means reproduction. A dog will bring a dog, bring a dog, bring a dog, bring a dog. Just what old Gertrude Stein said, and she was a filthy mess, a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. Right? A seed of God is 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 a seed of God. I quit too soon. There's 6,000 years of it. Let me start again, or you get the point. All right. Here we see the beginning of all life forms and all life according to species, and each species propagated in continuity according to the life seed in each one. And even if there is a crossover called by as cross-pollination, or a hybridization of the two species engaged in this process of reproducing, they themselves, according to their own origin, exactly, they maintain their same origins, as when a donkey or an ass and a horse species comes together and produces a mule. Yeah. What I'm saying, I don't care what is produced. The original species seed can't change. And Brother Branham taught that in sermon number one. Any biologist knows that. Of course, the stupid scientists, so-called. Oh, God, no wonder we have a job going to doctors and trying to get better. All science is based upon a fallacy. Don't tell me it isn't, because it is. Well, so, well, Brother Bale, one and one make two. That's exactly right. But that isn't science. So, well, that is science, something we know. Where did it come from? I'm talking about science, so-called man's brains and man's ingenuity, trying to put things together. It's no more scientific than nothing. It's only scientific insofar as you can possibly see some results and you think you're following some law. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My Bible tells me God made it all, and by God it consists. And if God changed one iota, step back, you wouldn't find one thing today that's following a pattern. Where'd your one and one go to? You wouldn't even have one and one make two, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you would, but I don't very much. What I'm trying to get across here, that Brother Branham said, it's in the Word of God. And for all the talk of science, they can't prove it different. They're trying to prove it, and they're trying to say that there were changed species. That is a lie. The species have been 100% correct, and now Dr. Merkel comes along and proves even by the chondriona, which is the smallest part that you can possibly see, and only after 16,000 times magnification, that it's there, and you can test its intelligence, and the intelligence is not the same as a beast. And every form of life has intelligence. I preached that for years before I heard of Merkel. The cells have intelligence. If you put a cell in my blood vein that's a heart cell, that'll go to my heart. Your stupid Pentecostals, asinine Trinitarians, they'll bellyache and talk around the world and scorn. Let me tell you, science has proved it. Now there's your science. Science, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Science can only come behind Almighty God and show that God's Word and God is right, or it's not science. Even if they say one and one make two. In other words, they use the laws of Almighty God to destroy everything that's upon this earth with their filth and their lies. Pump you full of drugs that your body can't handle. Give you pills that'll kill you. And then stand back and say, well, doctors alone have the permit to kill and undertakers to bury him. That's why your Bible says all these sorcerers are going to end up in hell. Before it's over, an honest doctor is going to have to quit his profession. That's right. How many are going to quit? How many have quit? The FDA puts them out of business fast as they can put them on. All right. You can hybridize an offspring, but they themselves cannot multiply. Thus we see the scripture that sets this forth in Matthew 12 concerning two T-W-O seeds, two species of people, one of God, one of Satan. Let them cross-pollinate. There is no way you can get a God-Satan person. Now, I'm talking in terms. Now, you can get the ass and the horse. It will produce a mule. The mule cannot propagate to make it a separate race or distinct species. Neither can you have a God-devil person. So that the God-devil person can get born again and the devil part move out. Now, this is fundamental Christianity, believes that concept. You think for 1 minute they can accept the concept, not the concept, but the vindicated, rock-solid truth of Almighty God. Brother Branham said, there'll come a day when you'll find you always were saved. Why? Because you were the sheep gone astray. There wasn't a chance that you'd ever get out of the hands of God or change your species. The seed may mingle, the seed may mix, but there's no such a thing as a God-devil seed. They may look exactly alike in every way, judged alike, yet they're different. And there's only one way you can tell them apart. That's by the Word. Who wants to believe that? Years I preached on love. It's the same old thing. Love, love, love. Love me, no matter what I do. Love me. Love everybody else, no matter what they do. Listen, there's a word here that tells you when you're born again, you don't commit adultery. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't go out there and act like a sinner. You can't say no matter what I do. It's like, who was it? Was it Rice? John R. Rice got his neck in a sling, and he deserved to get his neck in a sling. And he said, if I was lying in the arms of a harlot, a prostitute tonight, and the rapture took place, God would snatch me out of her arms. Merciful God. In the day of the rapture, somebody breaking their marriage vow and paying a whore. How low can your concept get of a born-again Christian? As I said, then I'll repeat to you, I've never seen a sheep that couldn't do the rotten things a goat could do. When that sheep's born again, it's a different thing entirely. If you don't refrain from adultery and these things that are going on because you're fearful, although it is true there's a certain amount of fear is there, but it's a reverential fear and respect for Almighty God that we wouldn't do it. Why should we? Where is the need to it? A little sacrifice? Did you keep your body under? What's the big deal? Paul kept his under. He didn't have to. Jesus said you didn't have to get married. He said you better know what your gift is. Now, with this in mind, species can't change because of their unchanging source. As Matthew 13 declares, the tares are burned. They go right to the end as tares. And then the wheat started the first, they go right to the end, and they're wheat. And in them is fulfilled Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Let us make man in our image, and we'll get them dominion. And they'll fill the whole earth. And remember, the government is upon his shoulders, as Brother Branham said, which is a part of the body. And the government of God is here today in a bride that can remit sins through the Word. Now, when did the church really learn that, even under Brother Branham? How are we going to stand up and say we can remit sins by this word, knowing that remission, godly repentance, leads to a conversion, a baptism with the Holy Ghost, and a life that can be led in this flesh, which could only have another duplication of a sort, which is if you had your word body and didn't have this flesh body which can be tempted. And then live the way I've seen people in this church live before they walked out. Tell lies and everything else. Every despicable thing. You're going to tell me they carry a seat to oil and say, you must be born again? I've been through Pentecostal hogwash. I've been through the junk they preach in the way and all that stuff they got from B.G. Leonard, the backslidden Pentecost. Who couldn't cease from adultery and thievery and every lying thing under the face of God's earth. And it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh, because the flesh profits nothing. Oh, yes, it does. It's a negative profiting. And you may try to declare chapter 11 and chapter 13. It won't do you any good. If you're not born again, you haven't got a prayer. All right, listen. We are now in the process of the tares and wheat being separated. For the judgment has set in. The thrones have been set. It's in this earth now. I'm going to read sentence number one. Now, here is what I'm trying to say to the law of reproduction in Genesis bring forth of its kind. Genesis 1 and 11. Now, what we are looking at here is the Alpha and Omega. Alpha is number one. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction, bring forth of his kind, chapter 1 of Genesis, the seed, book 111. Now, number 2, these last days, that's Omega. True church bride comes to the headstone. All right. What are we looking at? The headstone, of course, to me, is Revelation 22 and 14. Now, if you go to that, you'll see the seals are open. and the seven thunders come forth under the seventh seal. And what it says in Revelation 22 is, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So therefore, between Revelation 10 and 4 and Revelation 22 and 10, the books have opened, the seals have been revealed, and the seven thunders have thundered, leaving you absolutely judged and ready to be harvested. I said ready. Now let's look at it. Seal not the saints. He that is just is unjust still. He that's filthy, filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. Now remember, your righteousness is manifested according to your worship. Because this is Omega of the Alpha, where we find two people worshiping God, namely Cain and Abel. And one was righteous, and one was unrighteous. One was good, and one was evil. One was clean, and one was filthy. How? Not by one single solitary thing they did in themselves, but what they did toward God by worship. And as Brother Branham said, Cain refused to believe that he was serpent seed. He refused to believe that his mother had intercourse with an animal, a serpent now, reduced to that condition. So he would not offer the blood. He would not. He had his own interpretation, which was a first fruit, I would call it, myself. And he said, Brother Branham said, the world is still denying it. The church world is still denying serpent seed. Eve did not do it. We are all children of God. We all fell. And all we need is just His wonderful love. And He loves us all because God is love. And we're all really saved. Then why are we supposed to join the church? Huh? Why do they give you artificial respiration when you're breathing and going around fine? Why are they trying to raise a living person if you're still living and you're not dead in your sins? I'd like some answers. Somebody's sick and I'm not, I can tell you that. No, my brain's very good. My heart's very strong. I believe I'm a thoroughgoing Christian and understand this word. Not boasting, just making a strange, simple fact. I cannot be sold political science and call it true worship. Now, let's read again. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, he tells you, at the process of the seals, he is ready to come. Hold your finger there. Right? Turn now to Acts, the third chapter. In Acts, the third chapter, verse 19, the middle verse, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A vindicated prophet that God answered back to, and he answered back to God, said that this is that great healing revival that brings a new message. Now after this, now after that message, there shall come, she shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached or appointed to you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. So, all right, the opening of the seals and the seven thunders is the restoration. No amens. I don't need it. Amen. It's a sinking in your heads and getting into your hearts. Do you understand what I just said? I took two scriptures and put them right together. Now, you can't have two things said about one certain thing, which is the actual coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those two things not be the same thing or 100% related. They are the two things. No different. If I said horse or I said Appaloosa. Does anybody know an Appaloosa is not an apple on the loose? It's a horse. Huh? How many knew Appaloosa's a horse? Well, fine. If I said horse or Appaloosa, did it make a difference? No, it just meant one thing. This horse has a certain type of something that people like it. There's hardly any Appaloosas left, by the way. That much I know. I'm not a horseman. Just I've been looking for the white horse to come upon, and I've got to wait to get there. Because none of the white horses here. there in the dimension. All right. It tells you right here. At this point, I am coming. So therefore, whatever was to happen in Acts 3 happens here and is elucidated upon and made clear. Right? You follow me? Okay. It's at hand for this one to come. When the seals are opened. When the book is no longer bound. And remember that same loosing. Looses the same book of Daniel. Don't worry. Don't worry at all about that. It's right in order. Now, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the city. This is exactly where Adam cut off. Now he's right back to it. You understand then what I'm saying here? We are back to headstone. That's what Adam tried to get to. That was going to be his headstone, live forever. The tree of life. He wanted to get to it. That was going to make the change. And believe me, it doesn't make the change. Because in Revelation 10, the mighty one that was on the throne in chapters 4 and 5, who is God himself, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, came down here with a prophet. Just like he came down in the Alpha with Jesus. And just like he came down in the Alpha with Paul. And just like he came down in the Alpha with Moses. Those are Alphas. Now you're getting to the Omegas, the Z's, from the A to Z. All right. Now notice, outside, you go right to the gates of the city. Say, may enter. Doesn't say does enter. He may enter. They're the only ones that do on the grounds of the tree of life and where the tree of life is in that city. The rest simply bring their glory in. Then they take it out. You talk about getting served. Do you know something about serving? You notice how the white man took the black man and made him serve and thought, oh, we're going to have millennium now? What happened? It all backfired. Now the black man turning the table in Africa is going to make the white man serve. That's going to backfire. It's strange, isn't it? People don't realize that he that is greatest of all is servant of all. And who is the greatest? God. Now just keep that thought. I'm not through preaching. Okay. Now, let me read again. Matthew 13 declares the tares are burned up and then the wheat has to be are burned and then the wheat has to have fulfilled in them. Genesis 1:26-28. Because remember, that's all that the tares were meant for, is burning. Remember, hell was created for the devil and his angels, period. That's it. But there's a lot more said about the children of God. They were to fulfill, replenish the earth, take it over, subdue it, and Satan was right there, cut his throat. Didn't do it. He snuck in with the word, perverted word. Now we're in the end days. We're coming back with the revealed word against Satan. And death does not have dominion over us. Death has swallowed the victory. Some of you younger people, bless God, you have to be standing here marching to Zion without missing a wink of the eye. So, well, I don't think that's worth keeping my body for. I'll just go out and commit adultery because that's a strong pull. Okay, go to hell. I could beat you to the club. You'd have wanted it anyway. You think sex is better than this? Help yourself. How come I turned it down? Oh, you're a man of steel. Oh, am I a man of steel? Oh, you've got to be nuts. I've seen fruitcakes. I'm looking at them. Get up, listen. Come on. Smarten up. You're young enough. I don't care how young you are. You listen to me. There's death in it. Spiritual death.
Because AIDS is taking over, and that's a spiritual death, and nobody's going to escape. And man's going to go down his own corruption and ooze. And if you think the real thing isn't waiting for where God gives you the righteous act, check. If you don't want the truth, lie. It's your business. I'm not going to stop you. I've got no power to stop you. I'm just telling you the truth. They were made to replenish. And Brother Branham said they would have come to the act, and they would have, on righteous conditions. And children wouldn't be born out of wedlock and thousands and millions dying out there. Brought into land degraded where the poor kids haven't got a chance. That what you want? Oh, I can just have this pleasure and I'm sowing, but I don't have to reap. That's what they taught us kids in school. Now what's the mess today? Folk, listen to me. You get what I'm getting at today? Either you sow the word of God in your lives or forget it. Don't believe the word's going to come to pass with you doing any old thing you want in any old way. You don't become a survivor and an overcomer by loose talk, loose tongue, and loose living. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, providing you've got the right testimony. But if you haven't, the blood won't do a thing for you except condemn you. I've read it to you, Hebrews 10, John 3. Read it right through the whole Bible. Come on. Where are you going to defy the word the prophet taught in the way I preach it? You're not going to do it. Now, Omega is coming to the headstone which was in Eden and withheld from them. See, they were to replenish the earth. They had access to the headstone. They were to control the earth. But it will come back in Revelation 19:11-21 when the first begotten from the dead bride church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elohim Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, come back here and take it over. Never, never more to be withheld or the tree of life withheld from us. For he said, where I am, there they will be also. Now, if the Son could only act with the Father in him, how do you think he's going to act unless the Father's in him now until the day it's handed back to the Father? And it were as though he had no children, but he does. And he can't deny him. So the Lamb's on the throne, the great one, the high priest, the intermediary. He's always there. Nobody tell you different. Hey, listen, don't you know if we didn't have an intercessor right now, we'd all be out? Come on. I can't stand foolish preaching. Should I try to tell you? People, I know that two, one and one make two is scientific, but the way the scientists use it, they don't come up with a scientific conclusion. All right, let's go to page 52. I wrote it down here, Brother Branham. Paragraph 3, 4, and 5. You say, oh, now, Brother Branham, wait a minute. You talk about the Spirit of Christ being upon the church. The Bible said it would. Is that right? Isaiah 9:6 said, unto us a child is born, unto a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And his kingdom shall be no end. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His shoulder. What? That's part of the body. That's his body, is it not? His shoulders are his part of his body. That's his body. Where's the government on earth at? His body. Saints will judge the earth. See, what I'm telling you here, Brother Branham has said here that we have got to come back to the place where God instituted it in Genesis 1, and we have been in progress for 2,000 years, but in 2,000 years, the Word has repeatedly been destroyed from its effectiveness. And the effectiveness of the Word was to restore and give us eternal, immortal bodies and inherit the earth. All right. Number 4. The third one was, will there? Oh, I beg your pardon. I should have read this. There will be a super church, a super race, after the headstone comes, you see. Now, number four, they will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. All right, in Genesis 1 and the first part of the 28th verse, and God blessed them. Now, Genesis 1:28a that says, and God blessed them, follows 26 and 27, naturally. And the Lord God said, let us make man in our image. That's Jesus said to his son, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, what did God say? Let us make man in our own image. And let them. That means many men. A woman is not mentioned at this point. Now, look, I'm not hitting women. I just want you to understand something. Lee Dale does not believe in a female Holy Ghost. He doesn't believe in sex in the millennium. I don't like getting my wires crossed. He made a man, and that man's name was Adam. Now, he said, we want many, many, many just like him. Now, could God want many like the woman that Brother Branham's daughter said was a hybrid, but a hybridizer? Now, nothing against you. Look, this is fulfilling the plan of God. And remember, don't kick against God. God is sovereign. And if God Almighty said that about a woman, there's something at the end of the trail that will more than compensate for everything said, because this is God's perfect will. God is a perfect God, righteous and just. How many people got mad at Brother Branham? I can't get mad at him. And I'm not a macho type of man that wants to lord it over a woman. I just can't stand women getting in my way. Neither can I stand men. Don't fool with me in my ministry. They try it, and I'm going to stand right here, and I'll say, look, you and I are finished. They want the church, I can move out. That's what Jesus did. He moved out. Paul moved out. This is moving out time, brother and sister. You better make sure who's got strings on you, whose halter you've got on you. Not some dumb ass or mule. Brother Branham said the horse knows his pedigree. He's a purebred. But the mule doesn't know. You got a bridle on? What's the difference between a bridle and yoke? There's no difference. Okay, I hope you're getting tight here. Let's understand the Word of God. Okay. It said, let us make man. Let them have the north fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And God created him. Then it says male and female. And God blessed them. Now what I'm looking at is here. Is that God blessed them? Okay. They will be so much like him, being his very image, in order to be united with him. So that's the blessing that God has upon these people. And we read Genesis 1:26 and 27. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. Now remember, she took the word in a wrong way. A word that was perverted by hybridization. Some other word, some other interpretation mixed into it. He said, it's not so. And remember, that's where people become agnostics. They don't know. They become atheists. They refuse to believe. God didn't say it. There is no God. This doesn't hold. That doesn't hold. We've got signs. One and one make two. Therefore, I don't see in the Word of God one and one make two. So therefore, the Word of God's a lie. See what I said about science? Forget it. Take the very Word of God and try to use it against him, just like Satan did. So you forget science. I'll tell you why to forget science. Let's get this flat. There's all kinds of cancer cures. The scientists know it. Why don't they come against the FDA and the great drug cartel? Why'd they tell the AMA off? They haven't got the guts. There's too much money involved. And the Bible says they won't. The Bible says they're going to answer. Why did Brother Branham and the Pope jump all over that doctor that cut that woman in his church all to pieces? Like a butcher, he said. My sister was cut up the same way. Experimentation, everything else. They knew what they had wasn't going to help her. And the church knows today what the church has got isn't going to help. But they blow and blow and blow in the face of the very scripture that says, few there be that find it, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Millions now living are going to die. I'll tell you one thing. If I meet them in the first resurrection, I know I'm in the wrong place. True. Why? Because I came out of it. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm telling you the truth. All right, here in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Now watch. Here's what these Pharisees did. And Moses takes up the cry of Jesus Christ. But even in this day when Moses has read, the veil is upon their heart. What kind of veil? Denominational, Pharisaical, Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What turns the Lord? The heart. Something inside. If there's a soul in there yearning for God, the veil of denomination and creed will go. So why can't they see this message? There's nothing in there. Their soul doesn't have a place for the word. No baptism. Now this is bride I'm talking about. Foolish virgins, another thing. They're virgins. Just leave them alone. Don't worry about them. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Didn't Jesus quote it, preach liberty? Paul is preaching liberty. If there's something in there, this word that Paul preached is going to get to you. And when it does, it's going to free your mind 100% of all your creeds and dogmas. It will not be a new patch on an old garment. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. When you and I wash our robes, it's just because we let those robes get filthy. There ain't any patches on them. They're a bit soiled, but one of these days there won't be spot or wrinkle. And that day is now because the seals have been opened. Notice, we with all open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image and glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, the Lord. Paul says here, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, since the Holy Ghost himself came down and brought this word, we're looking through the ages to the very end time. God has constantly called out a people from organization and denomination, and they have taken the word of the hour as they took the whole word in the first hour, but they couldn't come to the end of it because Omega wasn't in place. And now at the end time, the Alpha word becomes Omega, and everything is in place, and now we see him. It's a face-to-face understanding as never before. And we are changed now. The process has accelerated. Because they with us cannot be made perfect. We standing right here even will be changed to his image by the same Spirit of God that started it, now finish it. Now listen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. How can Paul have it concerning our day? Everybody wants that. They say, well, you see, Brother Bale, he just preached the word. And, you know, you see, they forget to go back to 2 Thessalonians, what I keep telling you. When it says here, your trouble rests with us when Christ comes to judge, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul's original word comes back. Restoration. That's why everybody goes to the Old Testament. They say, oh, restoration of all things. If that's the word, they want to run back to the Old Testament. Forget it. Forget it. It's Paul's gospel that judges the world. Not the Old Testament. Not even the Gospels. But the Old Testament, Paul said, is full of examples. So when James preached of the former and latter rain, you go back to Job to get an understanding if you want to. When the judge is at the door, you can go to the Old Testament and get an understanding. The Old Testament now is just full of pictures. But everything in there is in Paul's gospel. Now, that's what's being presented, but who wants to believe it? Nobody but us. Oh, we're stupid, of course, you know. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? the ministry of the Word. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth. In other words, vindicated, commending ourselves to every man's conscience sight of God. Paul's saying right here, you believe that Word, you got to help, you got to love me. You got to understand and know. Then, as Brother Branham said, the message and the messenger are one. Don't fool with the man. But if our gospel be hid, and if I'm hid as to who I am, it's hid from those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. How do you get the image of God? It's this Word shining into you. And if you can't see that's what you're looking for, and what you're longing for, and this is it, forget it. Go someplace. Look at a film. Talk to the Christian Science, the Buddhist. Join the Tibetans. Or Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, witchcraft. No difference at all. Okay. Notice over here in Genesis, the third chapter. We could have read this. Well, we know what this is anyway. Genesis 3:21, to Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take off the tree of life, he can live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth in the garden of Eden to till the ground from thence he was whence he taken. So he drove the man out, and he placed at the east end, the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, why did God say that this man has become one of us to know good and evil? Simple as ABC, by experience, this man Adam learned that you don't fool with God's Word. So that's where evil is. He learned in a hurry. But already by now he's tricked. He's defiled himself with the woman that God gave him, because she defiled herself with the serpent. He went against the Word of God. So now he knows, and he knows too late. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the kingdom of God is populated by people who know too late? Come on. Tells you right here, the only way you're going to get there is by the knowledge. And it's the knowledge right there of that tree of life. It's not a hybrid. It's pure reality. So now, what has this done? There's the Alpha. God wouldn't let him do it. What's the Omega? Here's the Omega, chapter 3 of Revelation. The messenger at the end time comes, and he said, thus saith the Amen. He's no longer Alpha. He's no longer Ephesian church. Although the Ephesian church comes back. Ephesus is repeated, as Brother Banner said. I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. You just make a guy vomit. Because you say, I'm in Christian goods. I got need of nothing and don't know. Now listen, if Adam could have lived for thousands and thousands of years under the condition of which he was in, what would the earth be like? Just what it is today. No different. Destroying the earth. You know why? Because he's the guy that started destruction. Because after turning from God, the earth began to bring forth tares, briars, weeds, problems. Now, the knowledge that God allowed environmentally, the ecological knowledge, was lost, and now it's too late. How are they going to turn back the swamps of Louisiana? What will they do with Love Canal up there in Niagara Falls? What are they going to do to your waters here and the junk that seeped in the water in Dayton? What are you going to do, you people live just a little south of here? Where was it? Myers going in. They bought the property, but they dug a well. It's poisoned. Adam living? Oh, Lord, it's a good thing he died and a whole bunch died in the flood. That's the mercy of Almighty God, and it's God's mercy again. He's, I'm going to destroy those that destroy the earth. So here, I'm rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. Oh, yes, everything is just fine. There's not too many population. Hey, this thing going, how are you going to take all these pesticides away? How are you going to take these conditions away? Why, people would starve. When they tried it in California, they literally got on the ballot the hope of a law that would destroy, I suppose, 80% of all the jobs in California. And they said, no way! We would sooner live, though it means, and they couldn't believe this for 1 minute, that our bodies are going to corrupt. We won't have any resistance left. We'll be tired in the morning and tired at night. We'll be saying at nighttime, would God it were morning. As soon as you go, would God it were night. That's the way it is. Do you think they're going to take it? Oh, come on. We're scientific. Come on, science. Deny this. We're rich in Christian goods. That's all they know is money. Go to, you rich men, weep and howl. You will have the wages of the labor. That's why NAFTA is going to come in. The Republicans are going to back it. Well, you see, well, it's this way, Mr. Bale. We know there's going to be a time of shortage of jobs, but later on, there'll be millions more. Ha, ha, ha. The only hope America has right now, and all the economists know it, is to export services. How many of you know how to repair even a toaster? Oh, Lloyd does, yeah. He knows a little about electrician. Gary's very good, and Steve knows how to do the things there. They tell me that, Lloyd tells me their work looks like a picture. A lot of things you don't know, Steve. A lot of things Gary doesn't know. Gary, would you export your knowledge? Wouldn't be worth a plug nickel. There's thousands do what you do. They've sold everybody a lie. Everybody believes the millennium's coming. Millions now living will never die. I can tell you for sure there's pie in the sky. You just look at me and you watch. I'm the guy to tell you. You believe that? Pentecostal? You believe that Pentecostal nonsense? They're the only ones who can prove anything so-called because they got gifts. If you had an ounce of brains, would you stand back and the guy say, I can fix that thing. Yes, I got all the answers. I can fix that thing. Waves his arms and talks. And a Pentecostal boy comes by and puts his finger on the right button and he fixes it. You can be that Pentecost, that Anglican idiot that tries to sell you a bill of goods when a Pentecostal come by and can prove that God heals. Well, you know, God uses doctors. Didn't say he didn't. But he's the Lord that heals. And they're both wrong. Yeah. I hope you get what I'm saying. All right, listen. We're reading over here. Here's the condition. I count you to buy me gold tried in the fire. The shame of your nakedness do not appear. Now he's standing at the door knocking and nobody wants to answer the door. Now if they'd only answer the door, they would come to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Behold, at what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Now listen, let me tell you what God's doing here. We are called the sons of God. Jesus was given the name of God. Didn't even have his own name. We don't either. We're going to know our name down the road. New name. Don't have the right ones now. We are called the sons of God. In other words, I'm showing you something. We are revered by God as the son was. Maybe more in a certain way because he sent that beloved one. The world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Huh, that's true. Alpha Omega. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and have never yet come into existence or appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is 1 Corinthians 13. The perfect word, the perfect revelation. God is not known by nature. He is known by his word. God is not even known by his acts. No, he is not known by his acts until his word is involved. Here they said, Brother Branham said that to us already in these two sermons, and he will say it again, I believe, in this. Okay, let's go further. We now look at Genesis. We look at the fifth one. The fifth one said, now listen, we're going to be like him in order to be united. Now, how can you, now what I'm trying to say over here in the book of Revelation, how can you be united to him, which you must be, because he said, come out of her, my people. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking. There's a union. And in Matthew 24, 25, it tells you there was a cry made at midnight. That's the darkest hour. That's the end of the ages. Behold the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. And the wives went out like that. Man, were marched and designed. They went right to their beloved. He took them in the chamber and shut the door. And the other began scurrying for oil. What do we need? What do we need? What do we need? The door was shut. It was all over. Millions now living will never die. See, they get caught in their lives. Oh, don't you believe your church or anything you ever were taught, brother, sister, because it was you were taught a lie, the same as I was. Now, you got to be like him. See? You got to be in that image. And how do you get that? The image that tells you in Matthew 25, it's explicit. When they went into the banqueting room, in other words, they went to the place with the oil, that they were consorting with the bridegroom, ready for the marriage to get taken away. Now remember, the actual truth of the matter is the bride and the bridegroom in the Oriental wedding don't see each other. The matchmaker is there. So who came down? God came down as the matchmaker. And he brings them in the building. Because remember, God will incarnate himself at that presentation. Now, the bride goes in and they're given garments. Yeah. And somebody comes in without a garment. And Brother Branham said, that's the man who pretends he's one of us. I don't use the word pretend or not. But he sits among us when we're feasting and dining in heavenly places on the heavenly manna by Christ Jesus. And they're sitting there. Yeah. And they act as though they believe the word. And I got a letter right in my possession now. I gave one to Brother Dave, where a preacher friend of mine in Europe told me about the late pastor. When he said, just a minute, you evidently, you don't believe like Brother Bill. He said, no. Why don't you talk to him? He said, I don't dare. So he took him to Gene Petrie. If you don't believe, why are you sitting here? Why would you dare to try to work in me? I believe in attrition. I'll stand here, I guess, till I die. No two can walk together except they see alike. Say, Brother Bill, do you claim some kind of vindication? No, I'm just claiming my rights. I don't mess with your wife, don't you mess with mine. I can love your wife, treat her good, maybe pat her shoulder the odd time, showing my love and appreciation. You do the same with my bride. I claim the church is my responsibility here. You be nice, you be sweet. Little pat here and there is fine, sure. Show your love and appreciate. Don't try to take over. Don't try with your lies and your false doctrine. And don't try to do my job. I'm not trying to do yours. Where were you when I needed help? Where were you when the going was rough? Patches on patches. Pray the food in the table. Good question. Have you ever asked you for anything? Listen, when you prove God and know God, you'll stand enough before that time you sneak around. Oh, yeah. All right. In that image. You got your garment on? The garment you have on, brother, sister, is the one that's washed in the Word. You always were saved. You always were a sheep. You always were a bride. You always were the perfect, sinless, justified bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't do it. What trick or two there to give you a guilt complex? Huh? Satan making you a scapegoat. They did it. They did it. They did it. No, we didn't. We didn't. We never crucified him. We never lied. We never went against him. Satan lied. So I don't know if I can claim that. Then you don't understand justification. A woman in sin can be forgiven, not justified. That's the bride. The bride never was in sin. She never was a sinner. She never was in the ring. She always looked for the pure word of God. And when it came, she just backed out of all this junk. They tried to make her pregnant with it. But they couldn't get her pregnant. Soon as I heard no eternal hell, because sinners don't have eternal life, they couldn't get me pregnant with that. See, it bounced off. I never could figure Jesus only. It bounced off. There's no such animal. Brother Branham wasn't Jesus only. Baptized in Jesus. Them boys, I know several Jesus myself. See? Bounced on. Wouldn't take. You believe in science, you're going to get messed up. Science said that the first sperm that got to the egg was the one that grabbed there. You won the first race you ever ran. That's a lie. Millions of sperm could go right by that egg, or the egg shook them off. You're going to find true science one day, honey, when you wake up in the resurrection. God is just building our minds now for that great day. God's just training us now for that great day. You say, well, bless God, the thing is, Brother Bear, when I retire, I want to have perfect and wonderful health and just sit there and glory in it 100 years. You're crazy. You'll die of a heart attack as soon as you quit work. That's the truth. Except for the odd guy. What do you think God's grooming you for? The millennium of further sanctification. Hallelujah. I love it. Because what I don't have here, I'm going to have there. And what I don't have here, there, the millennium, I'm going to have there. And that's where it stops. As far as I know. I know what God's going to do, but I'm going to love it. Because, you see, I love what he does here. I just am so gross at this time, we're not getting together on it. But we'll get there. Listen. Now, he said, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word and bring a hybrid product. And that's exactly right. The world is being filled with a hybrid product. And the hybrid product is the flesh. But in the flesh is either a soul from God, wise or foolish, or there is a soul from Satan. In other words, the very spirit. Now look, at Satan had to use a figure, so did God use a figure. The figure was created for him, and that's the figure that Satan used. He always follows through on God's stuff to destroy. All right, now look, I read to you, and I read to you positively. And I read to you, it says, and God blessed him. He sure did. God blessed him. And the blessing was upon what? The fact that he called them to propagate, fill the world, run it, take it over, bust Satan plumb out of the universe, break in pieces, subdue, crush, annihilate. Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Even rip the heavens. Flames mounting 1,000 miles in the air to get rid of every germ. Wouldn't you like to be there? Come on. Say, no, it's not beyond you, brother, sister. It's not beyond you and me this morning. This is not beyond us. This is children's bread, as Brother Branham said. Now, this cannot be rescinded. See, they tried to unite to the tree of life. It was stopped. But listen, it wasn't rescinded. It was delayed. Now we got to get back to the place where the perfect union can take place with the tree of life and be immortal. What is it? The perfect word. Listen, brother, sister. It's not the failure to obey the word. It's a failure to believe the word. Look. Here's two glasses, one of wine, and here's another wine. And they're both maybe from the century 1700. And it's the most marvelous wine. It's worth maybe $10,000. Yes, that's not a big price. $10,000. Anybody know the story of wine at all? How they sell these bottles at a huge price? $10,000. $50,000. Absolutely. Take a chance even if they can't drink it. All the ideas. Get me that wine. Get me that. Oh, yeah, yeah. $50,000. All right, here's two bottles of wine that's worth $1 million at least. If not many million. Now I say, here's your choice. One's got poison, one hasn't. And I say, listen, the red bottle has the poison. The white bottle doesn't have the poison. And the man comes by and he says, ha. If that Lee Dale is an expert on wine, then I'm an expert on Mars, Jupiter, and any other place in the universe. Let me tell you, he is not telling you the truth. Now, I am an expert on wine. Now, hold these two bottles up and look at them. Keep getting the bottle. Now, do you see this white bottle here? It lacks this beautiful light glaring out. It just beams out again. This white bottle, it's got such a soft glow. You know, it doesn't have peak. Doesn't have it. So you drink the poison. It was your faith that killed you. It wasn't your action. You were already dead. The minute you believed that was the good wine, and this was the cruddy stuff. And let me tell you something. Satan can present, as he did to Moses, the joys of this world and the pleasures of sin until you don't care about the things of God. It proves what's in you. It proves what's in me. I don't care what you may like about the sin of this world. When you're out there, there's something in you cried against it. You just didn't want it. I look back when I was a kid. I didn't want to do the things that I did like the Apostle Paul. But there's hope we don't have to do them. Now listen, this cannot be rescinded. The Word of God is a pure original seed that must come into a harvest. Now notice, he said, God bless them. Actually means that God has placed himself in a relationship with his seed or children wherein God puts them on a pedestal so that these are known as the apple of his eye. Huh? How many knows that's in the Bible? How many place in the Bible? I caught you. I didn't know myself. I still don't know. Could be three, could be four. Who knows? At least three places. 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. And verses 7 to 14. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, he will show thee. Thy elders, they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam. When he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in this desert land. In the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Psalm 17 and 8. And here's what it said. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. For he shall rise upon us with healing in his wings. With his calves as a stall, the proven apples of his eye. Let's go to Zechariah. That's about the last book in the Bible, but not quite. Come before Malachi. And there, in the second chapter, and in the eighth verse, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. He that touches you touches the apple of mine eye. Let me tell you this. He cannot be the Son of God. According to nation, according to anything. He cannot be the apple of God's eye unless he was originally the apple of God's eye. Now, you know the word bless means? It actually means to kneel. The word in the Greek is a little different. It means to invoke a blessing, which means to put into words what your heart desire is for good to the person. But in the Hebrew, you'll find it means to kneel. What I'm trying to bring to this is God made these people here. He put himself at their behest and request. He was theirs by his word to literally command the fullness of God that he wanted for them. And they said, forgive him. Okay, Adam and Eve, this afternoon, it's 12, well, it's 12:30. Time's gone, actually, and I'm not finished. I'm talking to you, Adam and Eve. Where do you stand in the economy of God? Are you blessed? I'm not trying to use God now, but God sets himself. He came down here himself, Brother Branham said, like an Eden. Are we leaning on him? Do we believe him? Do we really consider his own word? Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And verses 6 to 8. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Amen. That's the end times. 7 or 8 souls make the ark. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, and go right back to Adam and Eve, hath the Lord brought you into this out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy, that blesses them, and keeps his commandment unto 1,000 generations, and repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He'll repay him to the face. All right. I haven't got time to read it. I want you to just start reading Ephesians 1 from the 3rd on. You're going to see what God thought of you, what God did for you, what you are in the eyes of God. All right, let's go and read then what I'm talking about. I'm going to read you from the book of Psalms. And it's going to be the 33rd Psalm, and it's going to be the 12th verse, and here is what you're going to hear me say. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, if you go to the Hebrew, you're going to find this 100%. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Jehovah. Now, Elohim then is a factual state of God. You cannot deny that there is a God, even as Merkel says, the breath of God. But I want you to know that our God is not just Elohim, and our Elohim is not just Elohim. Our Elohim is Jehovah. For Elohim or El or El Elah state the fact of a supreme being, a sovereign God of creation and authority. But Jehovah, with the 8 compound titles, reveals the true God and brings him who is afar off to be near, a relationship to us. This is why the scripture always said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Elohim, who is Jehovah, who is our Father. In other words, the God that's afar off, the inscrutable one, the one that no man can come near and say, I don't understand, I cannot fathom it. He, in turn, becomes Jehovah in a relationship of a father and son. And in every one of the compound titles, of which the last one is, which even Brother Branham, and I say this with all respect, and yet he laid the ground for it. He did not understand number 8, which is Jehovah Sanctifier. And he said the 8th day, which he put, remember he put in the Feast of the Trumpets. And he brought out the 8th day. And he said the 8th day is beginning again. And that's exactly the truth. Under 8, our Sanctifier now goes into a state of sanctification with you and me we've never dreamed of. Oh, the beauty of being the family of God. Our heart's desire as parents with our children and they with us is going to be answered for the first time in a few years. Brother, sister, if this message is not waiting on and God's not waiting on, this message isn't taken, being taken, listen, do me a favor. Pray with all your heart. Call some prayer meetings. and see if something is wrong that can be righted. Elohim is God, the unknown, the unapproachable. Jehovah is the same God, revealed and related. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we see the word Elohim. But in Genesis 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 15, 16, 18, and on, we see Jehovah. And in each case, it's Lord God, which no longer is a God that's afar off, the God that's not dealing personally. It's the God who is dealing, and He's Jehovah God, because the word Lord means Jehovah. That's why the voice came to William Branham under the grace covenant of Abraham when he saw the rainbow in the sky. The voice said that Jesus, Jehovah of the Old Testament, is Jesus. It's Jehovah of the New. That's the one that Paul met on the road. It wasn't that son that people try to talk about and now make him comatose and nobody know this and that. Don't get that hogwash. It was Elohim Jehovah, the Jehovah revelatory God that came down in Jesus through the Jordan and then left him. The same pillar of fire is here today. We don't respect him enough or love him enough, but I don't know. Unless that word gets more and more of our heart, brother, sister, I don't think it can happen. What I think I see in the scripture where Elohim stands alone and then joins with Jehovah, so no more. So it is now Jehovah Elohim and not Elohim Jehovah, is that God is bringing his sons who are earthly men. He's bringing them now into a personal relationship with him. And all that has to do with his son Adam. See, everything that was there, the personationship. Now look, you're coming to be with me, to sit around my throne, to adore me and worship me and see all these things you want to see. This relationship will extend to the image of man again in the image of God. According to 1 John 3:1-12, where you've got to see him in order to get your change. For God took on the form and flesh of man, that man in turn could become the living word manifested in flesh, as Elohim had so ordained it. It was Elohim that ordained it. And as Brother Branham said, if God said a thing had to happen, like as in Matthew 5:40, be ye perfect as your Father had, if God commanded it, God had to make a way for it. How did he do it? Not as Elohim, but as Jehovah. And yet Brother Branham said, Elohim is here. What's he telling you? The God that commanded it has made a way for it.
The unapproachable is approachable. And Brother Branham said, a death to go behind the veil one time is now death to stay out of the veil. We, the living manifested word in flesh, and Elohim that ordained it. Denominational seed can't do this. No. What seed? Okay, here it is. Put it on your camera. Here it is. Identified with this word. Vindicated. You do what you want. Yeah, Baal. They said Baal. You said you're vindicated. I never said I've been to kids 100 times. I'm not, but I can tell you one thing. Anybody that believes the prophet's message 100% with the prophet is vindicated. Don't tell me different. That's you people sitting here. What, about 80 of you? I don't know. Close to 80 as well. And out there in the tapes, hundreds, certainly. Wherever they preach this message in spirit and truth, that's the way it is. Our time's up, eh? Just made it under the wire. Next paragraph, next Saturday. All right, let's rise and be dismissed. And when you do, you take the name of Jesus with you. Don't forget what you heard this morning. It's almost good if you took the entire preamble and studied it, that you might see we understand the things that God has promised to let us understand. We're seeing them. I believe with all my heart I wouldn't be talking this way. No, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be a liar and a hypocrite, and that much I'm not. If I was somebody else, I'd be gouging, but I'm not. Let the lower lights be burning, send the beam across the way, some poor seeking and false sinner, you may rescue, you may save. But brother, sister, if you can't save yourself, you ain't going to save anybody else. If you don't have the seed, you're not going to pass it on, a living seed, to anybody else. If you don't stay with this word, brother, sister, your confidence in him, Alpha being Omega, May being Alpha, you can't enter the fellowship. You're not called one of his. This word separates from the world, but it joins to God. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him, with Him all the way. Why did Brother Branham love it? Because he said we're doing it now. And we're not being blown away like the chaff. We've just been separated. The wheat's in the granary of the solid rock of the tabernacle of this world built here, of this word built here, brother, sister. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me, I'll ever adore Him. I'll ever adore Him. I'll ever adore Him. Because He first loved me. Take the name of Jesus with you. We'll be with you on Saturday night, 7 o'clock.